That's dangerous, isn't it? All right. Amen.
I was planning on it anyway. Amen. Yeah. But anyway, we're glad to be here tonight. This is I went back and tried to count, and I believe this is number 17. All right, are we on? Let's make sure we get on, because I want you to hear what I got to say. Amen. All right. If not, Leroy, then just give me this one, and we'll make it work. But I believe this is number 17, if I could count right. And we thank God for the honor. To me, that's an honor. I say thank you to the former pastor, Brother Killian, for allowing me to be a part of the conference for all those years. And then Pastor John, I appreciate him allowing me to continue that tradition. And I don't take it for granted. And I take it for gratitude. And thank you for just allowing me to be a part of the church here and what the Lord is doing here in the midst of Linwood Baptist Church. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 29, if you would. Proverbs chapter 29. Praise the Lord. I thought it was coffee at first. I was about to shout. Proverbs 29, verse number 18. We want to preach this week along the theme of 2020 vision and missions. And I want to try to build around that theme this week, and each night try to exalt that subject thought. And there will be things I probably won't tell you anything you don't know. I'm just a simple preacher. Now, our pastor is one of these deep, theological, expository preachers. I'm just an old country boy, and that's about all I've ever been and will ever be, and that's all I ever try to be. I've never tried to be a big shot, amen? Couldn't if I wanted to. I'm just me. I just preach, and so I probably won't tell you many things new, if anything new. And I'll probably say, repeat myself several times, not because there's nothing else to say, but because of the emphasis that I want to put on what I'm saying. And so I hope that you'll come every night, and I understand that that some can't, and that's all right, understandable. But if at all possible, I hope that you'll be here for the services every night. Would you stand and give attention to the Word of God as we read together, beginning in, one verse, in verse number 18, where the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, Father, we need your help tonight. Number one, I need you to touch my voice and help me, Lord, with this cough that I've had. And then, Lord, number two, Lord, I need the wisdom to say the right things in the amount of time that we need to say them. But most of all, dear God, I need the touch of God in this hour. And I pray you'll draw back all the opposing powers of hell in this service tonight. And oh, that the lovely Lamb of God may be seen and magnified tonight in everything. And speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The gospel story tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven's glory And he lived on this earth for some 33 and a half years. He died on the old rugged cross for the sins of a lost world. He was buried, and on the third day he rose again. He walked and talked with his disciples after the resurrection some 40 days, and then he ascended back to heaven. Now, just before the Lord ascended to heaven, in fact, the last words that he spoke to his disciples, he commissioned, he challenged, and he commanded his church to evangelize the world. Now, understand, and I'll say more about this as the week goes on, that he didn't just give the Great Commission to the apostles. He gave it to his church, because the apostles would die one day, and that the commission would have died out had he just given it to them. But he gave it to his church. And he said about his church, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And so, my dear friends, our Lord, he repeated that five times over in the first five books of the Bible. And I really do think that he took that 40 days that between resurrection and ascension for the purpose of teaching his disciples the Great Commission. We know that he gave it several times, and he gave it on resurrection evening. He gave it on resurrection night in John 20, 21. A few days later, he gave it in Mark. We don't know exactly how long. And then he gave it a little bit later, 90 miles away from Jerusalem on a hill in Galilee in Matthew's gospel. And then as he was leading his disciples out to the Mount of Olives to ascend back into heaven, in Acts chapter 1, he said, "Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth." Now, here's what I want us to see. He placed that responsibility upon his church. That is a divine responsibility. You see, he exhorts the church to go and do it. He empowered the church to do it, to get the job done. He enlists missionaries through his local church. And then he enjoins the church to give to support this matter of world evangelization. And let me say also that he expects the church to get it done. You see, he has no plan B. There's only one plan that our Lord has. That's to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so, beloved, the responsibility lies at our doorstep. And unfortunately, we fail to get the job done. I was reading the other day in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 34, where Paul said that all have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to our shame. Shame on the church for not getting the gospel to the world. I've told you here before, and I'll tell you again tonight, I'll never forget that day. I was driving up Interstate 24 in Chattanooga and looked on the big billboard sign that said Coca-Cola. And this was in the year 1999. The reason I know that and remember that is because that Coca-Cola was founded in the year 1899. And on that sign, they boasted that in 100 years, they had put their product in every country of the world. You could go to any country of the world and buy Coca-Cola. And I thought, my soul, they could do that in 100 years, and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been here for some 2,000 years with this commission to take the gospel to the world and given the power of God to do it. And yet we have still not nearly got the job done. Shame on us. We have dropped the ball somewhere. And I think there's several reasons why that we failed. But I think the main reason of our failure can be found right here in our text where he said, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, tonight, I want us to look at this, and I want us to catch a hold of this vision of missions this week like we've never had before. Amen. And tonight, I want to speak on what I call the focus of that vision. And there's three words in our text that I want us to see, and through it, I want us to build three thoughts around those three words. First of all, there is the word people. And I want you to write out beside that word the reason for missions. This is the reason that we're here. I don't know if you think much about this, but I do constantly because, and I always try to keep a watch on it, it's the world population. While I speak to you tonight, the world population is somewhere around, and I just got these fresh statistics today, and what it said at 11 o'clock a.m. today on the 4th day of March 2020, the world population stands at, or stood, it's already gone up since then, 7,768,618,491. Now, the birth rate this year has been 180,161 already born in this year. There's been 75,674 who have died since January the 1st. And the population growth today is at 104,487. Now, that's a whole lot of births. And the births, by the way, that's the birth today that I just gave you. The births since January the 1st is 24,360,970 people. There's been, since January the 1st, 10,227,349 that died as of 11 o'clock this morning. The population growth since January the 1st has been 14,133,777. Now, that's a lot of people. And I have no idea how anybody could have known this in the time that our Lord walked the earth. But it was estimated that the world population was around 245 million people. Now, it took 1,800 years to reach the first billion on planet Earth. And then it only took 130 years, the year 1930, for it to reach 2 billion. Only 30 years to reach 3 billion, 1960. 1974, it reached 4 billion. There was the biggest growth of the population of the world was in the early 1970s for some reason. And then a few years later, 1987, The world population reached 5 billion. And 1999, it hit 6 billion. And 2011, it hit 7 billion. Now, it's estimated by the year 2050, 30 years away, that the world population, at the rates it's going now, will reach 9,735,033,990. And by the year 2057, the world population will reach the 10 billion mark with the rate it's growing today. Now, that's a whole lot of people. Our dear brother's going to China, and I sure enjoyed that presentation, brother. That was so good, and I appreciate that. And you gave me a prayer card a while ago. You know what that means? That means I've added you to my prayer list. When I take a prayer card from a missionary, that is a covenant that I make with that missionary to pray for them. And so you're on my prayer list, along with the Pepperdines and the Teals and many others in China that I've acquainted with. Now, the population of China is right at 1.5 billion. I believe it was the statistic was 1.47 something billion, right at 1.5 billion people. I've done a little figuring. Now, let's just say that the population of China froze, that none was added, none died. And God sent a great move of God through that. And I pray that every Saturday, I pray that prayer. God, send a great move, a mighty move of God through China and sweep millions into the family of God. That's my prayer every Saturday when I pray for that part of the world. And let's just say that God did that. And let's say that 5,000 people got saved every day. Do you know that it would take almost, not quite, but almost 150 years to reach the population of China? Now, what I'm trying to get us to see tonight, that's the reason for missions. The world population is going crazy. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has got a commission to take the gospel to every creature on planet Earth. What an awesome task that is that we've got to perform. There's a lot of work to do in this thing. Now, there's world population, but you notice on your paper there's a world problem. You know what the world problem is? All are born into sin. Every person that's ever been born in the Adamic race has been born into sin. A compounded problem is that we have a powerless and unconcerned church that's trying to get the gospel to these almost 7.7 billion people. And a compounded problem, even more than that, we might say a double compounded problem, is that we got a bunch of dry-eyed Christians. Amen. With no burden whatsoever. That's right. To reach lost souls for Christ. If you don't believe that's so, how long has it been since you wept over a sinner? You think about it. Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Amen. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Oh, my dear friend, what I'm saying is tonight that we've got a problem on our hands. And we need to get busy for the Lord. There's a whole lot I'd like to say about that, but I want to hasten to the next word. And that's the word vision. And I want you to write out next to that word, the word responsibility of that vision. responsibility in missions. You say, preacher, what's the meaning of this word vision? Well, Webster Dictionary says that it's a dream, an imaginative insight. Now, hold on just a minute. I'm not talking about some 900-foot Jesus that appeared to a fellow out in Tulsa, Oklahoma a few years ago. You get them kind of visions from eating too much junk before you go to bed at night. I mean, you can have all kinds of visions if you eat the right thing, well, maybe the wrong things, we ought to say, before you go to bed. That's not what I'm talking about. You see, the Hebrew word for vision here that he's talking about is a revealing of God's will through His Word by the preaching of the prophets. Now, the avenue of that revelation is the Word of God. And the Word of God is going to reveal two major things about sinful men. Number one, that all have sinned, the sinfulness of man, Romans 3:23. There's none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3:10. And the second thing it's going to reveal is salvation from sin through the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. Jesus said in John 5 and verse 39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." I want you to listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 44. We're talking to those unbelieving religionists. He said that no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now watch it. It is written by the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. Now you think about that. How does the Holy Spirit convict somebody to draw people to? It's the Word of God. Amen. It's through the preaching of the Word of God. And so, my dear friend, we've got that responsibility to preach the gospel to every creature. Now, not only just the meaning on your outline, but I want you to notice the thought of the message of that vision. And the message of that vision that we're talking about is our responsibility as the church and as the people of God to reach every creature, every person in the world with the gospel. Now, look at your outline again. In order to do that, our eyes must see. Lift up your eyes. The fields are wide on the harvest. Our minds must think. We've got to use the God-given brain that He gave us to think about this. R.A. Torrey, a famous preacher of yesteryear in the early 20th century, God mightily used him across America. And Dr. Torrey said that if I can ever get a person to think with me, and I mean really think with me, that he's going to go to hell if he dies without Christ, he said, most of the time I'll win him to Christ if I can just get him to think. See, we got to use our minds to think. And then we have to use our ears to hear. We've got to hear the voice of God speaking as Isaiah of old did when he got right with God in Isaiah chapter 6. The first thing he heard was, he said, "I heard the voice of God speaking to me saying, who'll go for us?" Got to hear God speaking. Our ears must hear. our heart must feel. You see, when we see and when we think and when we hear, then our heart is going to be affected. Our eye will affect our heart. And we'll feel the hurt of people. Amen. We'll say more about all of these as the week goes on. Our lips must speak and take the gospel. Our hands must work. We've got to do everything within our ability, our God-given ability, to get the gospel out. And then our feet must go. We've got to get up and go and get the job done. I'm talking about a vision of missions. William Carey, known as the old cobble school or cobblestone school teacher in England, got under a burden to go to the country of India. And he knew that God was calling him to go, but he had no means to go. And so he went before a big preacher's meeting and told the preachers what God had called him to do. One old preacher stood up, and the prevailing doctrine of those days in England was what's called fatalism or hyper-Calvinism. Whatever will be, will be. And this old preacher said, "Sit down, young man, shut up. When God gets ready to save the heathen in India, He can do it without you or me." That discouraged him. But you know what? That didn't keep him from doing what God called him to do. And he went on to India and spent the next 40 years of his life. He gave the rest of his life reaching those Indian people for Christ. That, my friend, is a vision of missions. Aaron Iron Judson left his prestige in America to set sail. He was actually going to work in Carey's work in India. But because of the civil war that was going on, God closed the door on that. And he ended up in Burma. And while he was there, he suffered drastically for the Lord and the sake of Christ. And he was accused of being a spy, and he was put in prison for 18 months. And I think one of the unsung heroes of missions was his wife, Ann Judson. She visited him every day. And they had a little infant baby when he was imprisoned. And she had to, I don't mean to be unkind or anything about it, but lack of a better word, she had to bootleg other mother's milk to feed that little infant child while her husband was in prison. Suffered drastically. And it was almost 7 years of sowing the seed of the Word of God before they had their first convert in Burma. But he stayed with it. And you can still go to the old Burma today and find traces of Adoniram Judson's work. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people came to Christ as a result. That, my friend, is a vision of missions. David Livingstone, medical doctor, just finished his medical degree. And he was wanting to go to the mission field. Wanting to go to work with Hudson Taylor's work in China. But he heard Robert Moffat preach in England one day. And Robert Moffat said, "I can stand on the porch of my house and see the smoke of 1,000 villages rising up where there's not one gospel witness." David Livingstone said, "I will go." And he went and spent the rest of his life reaching those African people for Christ. And he went into places where no white man had ever been before to take the gospel. And he loved it, those people so much. When he said, when I die, I want you to cut my heart out of my body, literally, and bury it in Africa before I'm shipped back to England for burial. And they did just that. Our friend Jeff Stewart was over there a few years ago. And he stood there where that David Livingston's heart was buried, and a monument there recognizing it. That, my friend, is a vision of missions. Jim Elliot, Nate Saint, that company of five waded deep into the jungles of Ecuador, wanting to reach those savage Indians, those Incan Indians, knowing that they may never come back. And they were slain, all five of them, by those savages on the banks of a river. That, my friend, is a vision of missions. Then their wives said, we will not stop with this. And they went into the jungles, and God gave them fruit. And they reached those same savages that pierced the heart of their husbands with a spear. That is a vision of missions. That's what I'm talking about. Our responsibility of missions. But I want to hasten to say one final thing. That's the word perish. For there is no vision, the people perish. Right out next to that, what I call the rejection of missions. That word means the state of condemnation. It's the opposite of eternal life. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Shouldn't perish. It's the opposite of eternal life. It's the result of no repentance, Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, and again in verse 5. He said in that verse, repent or likewise perish. If you don't repent, you'll likewise perish. And my dear friend, if we reject, and this is what I'm trying to get across to us tonight, that the truth of the matter is that if we do nothing, if we refuse to get involved in missions, then sinners are going to go to hell without Christ. Now, watch it on your outline. This is why we have a missions conference. This is why that we send out missionaries around the world to make sure that we've done our part in getting the gospel out to the world. There is absolutely nothing more important than reaching the peoples of the world for Christ. We may not reach them all, but we can do our part. And that's when it'll make the difference, when we do our part. I have that fellow with elderly fellow walking along the beach early one morning. And he looked down, and there was a little boy. He'd pick something up, and he'd go as far as he could and throw it as far as he could and come back and do it again. The man kept watching him. He got down next to him. He said, son, what are you doing? He said, you see all these starfish? They washed up on the shore last night. And he said, I'm trying to get them back in the water. And if I don't get them back in the water, they're going to die. They're going to perish. He said, but son, look, there's thousands of them. He said, you can't make a difference in all of that. And about that time, he threw one out. And he said, I've made a difference in that one. We may not reach them all, But we can make a difference in some. And we can do our part. Now, what I'm saying to our hearts tonight, will you do your part? I don't know what that is. Only God knows and you know. You say, preacher, I don't know. Would you be willing to want to know? I wonder how many of you tonight would get up out of your seat and walk down this aisle and get on your knees in this altar and say, God, what's my part in this? What do you want me to do in this, Lord? I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. And I'll do it, God, to the best of my ability. God will probably never call most of the people in here to the mission field. But that does not abrogate our responsibility to missions. I wonder if you'd get down to business with God. I'm going to emphasize this all this week. What's God called you to do about it? 7.65 plus billion people. It's estimated that over 4.5 billion have never one time heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I speak this to our shame. God help us to do our part.
Amen.
That's all God expects us to do. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Father, I've tried tonight just to emphasize the focus of missions in this vision, to focus on the peoples of the world, our responsibility, and then, Lord, what will happen if we have no part in it? Help us to do our part. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Miss Mickey's playing.